Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me is Eric Johnson, a colleague at MRM, and we have been discussing an article that was in the August 4th, 2011 edition of the Deseret News that talked about the forming of this Mormon Defense League, which is put together by the Foundation for Apologetic Information and Research, and it is supposed to be targeting media outlets that they feel are incorrectly reporting on the Mormon faith. And yesterday we were discussing one aspect that earned the displeasure of many Mormons, and that was back in Memphis when a reporter was asking people about a candidate running for president who believed that if he was good enough in his religion, he would eventually inherit a planet. And of course, the Mormons took very much umbrage at that. And yesterday we discussed how that was very much taught by Mormon leaders, and I'm sure it's believed by many modern LDS people as well. Maybe not all of them. And again, remember, folks, when we quote some of these things, we are not at all trying to imply that all Mormons believe this, or even that all Mormons even know about this. I can almost guarantee you that a lot of Mormons in the foreign countries don't have the access to some of the things we do here in Utah, probably have no idea that some of these things were actually taught by their leaders. But anyway, this Mormon Defense League is supposed to be correcting what they call modern misconceptions. And in the article, they mention three of them. We're going to talk about one of them that they mentioned today. And that is the topic of the magic underwear. This is what they say. Now, Eric, I admit I would probably not use that term like that. Of course, this in Mormonism, it's called the garment of the holy priesthood. And it is still very much a part of Mormon understanding. Every Mormon who goes through the temple endowment ceremony is supposed to wear this garment. So they're supposed to be touching their skin at all times. Even when they change them out, they should be touching a new pair as they put on a fresh pair as opposed to the old pair. And but that's really not the topic of what we're talking about. Is this really an aspect of Mormonism? And if it is, why don't Mormons just own up to it and say, yeah, we do believe in special clothing that has some element of supernatural ability. Maybe magic isn't the proper word, but nonetheless, they do hold to something like this. Yesterday, we were talking about Joanna Brooks, and I made the comment that I have found Joanna Brooks oftentimes misrepresents Mormon doctrine, at least as it's been taught by Mormon leaders. And I think we need to address this because she addressed this in one of her blogs.
Well, let's just state who Joanna Brooks is, because we've been talking about her, but I mean, she writes for a blog. Anybody can do that.
Anybody can. She writes for Religion Dispatches, and it seems to be pretty popular. She gets a lot of comments, people writing back. I find sometimes the people who write her correct her on her misunderstandings of Mormonism.
But she's nothing more than a lay person. We need to point this out, Bill. She's not a general authority. Obviously, she's a female, so right there she couldn't be. She is a professor at San Diego State University in English Comparative Literature, which is a very nice position, but gives her no ability to be able to officially declare what is or is not doctrine or folklore.
And exactly. And even even FAIR, the group that's put this Mormon Defense League together, they don't have the authority of leaders in the Mormon church. I'm sure the Mormon leaders love that they're out there doing their dirty work, you know, because they don't have to make a stand. They can let it go out to other people. And of course, if FAIR messes up, it's easy for the leadership in Salt Lake City to just wash their hands of them and say, well, that was their opinion, and never give us really what their position is on certain things, at least in a modern context, because we certainly do have quotations from leaders in the past. And you would think that if these leaders are getting their information from God himself, there should not be this wide, you know, array of opinions among LDS leaders. They should be saying the same things. And if they're not, what's the whole purpose of this Latter-day revelation. I mean, if it's just latter-day opinion, we can get that anywhere. And certainly we get it from people like Joanna Brooks. Anyway, she was complaining about Bill Maher, who I agree is a very tasteless comedian. But he was on the David Letterman show back in, I think this was probably back
in April,
the early part of the year, April.
April 2011.
Yeah, and anyway, she said Maher made some kind of comment about Mitt Romney, and Maher says, you know, don't get me started on Mitt Romney, because Mitt Romney will teach America what's really in Mormonism. And he made the comment about magic underwear. And Brooks responds, it's no secret that highly observant LDS people wear sacred undergarments as an expression of religious commitment, but magic underwear? Please. Now, I don't know what exactly Maher meant by that phrase. What did he mean? But he's probably heard some things written or said by Latter-day Saints that are connected with the sacred garment, as they call it, the garment of the Holy Priesthood. But to give the impression that, as she does, she says, this is Joanna Brooks saying, there is a historic Mormon folk belief that garments offer a kind of protection to their wearers. But for the vast majority of Mormons, garments first and foremost represent the daily wearing of a covenant to lives of modesty, chastity, and faith. Now, first off,
that's her mantra, isn't it?
Yeah.
Folklore. Folk belief, and nobody believes it except for...
That's her favorite. Now, I actually heard when, I think it was J. Willard Marriott was interviewed 60 Minutes.
Yep.
He actually talked about a boat fire,
right,
in which he felt that his garments actually protected him. And this was on a national broadcast.
Oh, Steve Young was also interviewed on
he
that.
He was in there. Steve Young, the quarterback.
Yeah, the San Francisco 49ers. And he said that he didn't wear them because he thought it would desecrate his garments by wearing them through the sweat,
right,
which is not how a lot of farmers in these areas here take that.
Right. But when she says it's folk belief, how much can you really trust Joanna Brooks on this? Because, I mean, this idea of that garments offer a kind of protection is actually folk belief. Well, if you're a Latter-day Saint, you're probably familiar, if you've been through the temple endowment ceremony, that there's a portion in the endowment ceremony where it actually tells the patrons, you have had a garment placed upon you, which you were informed represents the garment given to Adam and Eve when they were found naked in the Garden of Eden, and which is called the garment of the Holy Priesthood. This you were instructed to wear throughout your life. You were informed that it will be a shield and a protection to you, inasmuch as you do not defile it, and if you are true and faithful to your covenants. So here in the temple endowment ceremony itself, it is said that they will be a shield and a protection if they are faithful to their covenants.
Well, Bill, in the Church Handbook of Instructions in 1998, page 68, it says this, the garment provides a constant reminder of the covenants made in the temple. When properly worn, it provides protection against temptation and evil.
Now, an outsider might look at that as kind of magical. Okay?
Yes.
I mean, I don't know what other word a guy as crass as Bill Maher would probably use, but you know what? This is how they would understand this, because certainly this is not normal. What makes these garments any different, really, in the Mormon viewpoint, than what another superstitious person might say a rabbit foot affords him protection? And Mormons need to understand, this is how it's viewed by outsiders. They don't look at it the way they do. And so what other word would we expect a person like Bill Maher to use when describing something of such an ability? The LDS manual, a correlated manual true to the faith, the garment provides a constant reminder of the covenants you have made in the temple. You should treat it with respect at all times. You should not expose it to the view of those who do not understand its significance, and you should not adjust it to accommodate different styles of clothing. When you wear it properly, it provides protection against temptation and evil. Wearing the garment is an outward expression of an inward commitment to follow the Savior. And if you don't think that's in that manual, you can check page 173. That's where it's found.
12th President Spencer Kimball said this, temple garments afford protection. I am sure one could go to extreme in worshiping the cloth of which the garment is made, but one could also go to the other extreme. Though generally I think our protection is a mental, spiritual, moral one, yet I am convinced that there could be and undoubtedly have been many cases where there have been, through faith, an actual physical protection, so we must not minimize that possibility. He says that in the teachings of Spencer W. Kimball, page 539. And as you mentioned earlier, Bill, Mr. Marriott said that he was physically protected by his garments in this boat fire. It burned the clothing, but it did not even singe, apparently, his garments.
I have personally heard Mormons tell me stories like this. I remember one particular missionary that I knew down in El Cajon, California, who told me this amazing story about falling off his bike. And it's probably not as grandiose as Mr. Marriott's story, but he basically said something to the effect of how he fell off his bike and his pants were ripped to shreds, but, you know, there was no skinning on his knee because of his garments. He really felt that, you know, the garments had actually protected him in that. UF-70, David E. Sorensen, who actually said, "The garment, when properly worn, will serve as a protection against temptation and evil." This is found in The Doctrine of Temple Work. It was in Ensign Magazine, October 2003, page 62. So here again in the Ensign, they were talking about it actually offering protection.
And David R. Ridges, the executive secretary for the Sunday School General Presidency, said this: "The garments serve as a reminder to them of the covenants they have made in the temple with the Lord to live pure and virtuous lives. In addition, garments provide protection understood by the worthy wearer and promote modesty in clothing styles." That's found in Mormon Beliefs and Doctrines Made Easier, page 112.
So we find that when Joanna Brooks talks about this alleged folklore about it offering protection, we find that Mormons have written about this. This is recent. A lot of these are not old comments. They're not that long ago. True to the Faith came out in 2004. So actually, it has been taught by the LDS Church.
Well, when you talk to a faithful Mormon, you want to be careful not to bring this topic up, really, because they're not really supposed to talk about anything in the temple. But when somebody says this is folklore, I think we have a responsibility.
That needs to be challenged.
We have to bring this out and explain that the garments do have a huge place in Mormonism.
So if these Mormon spokesmen are going to be correcting misconceptions, I think we need to carefully look at what their misconceptions are. It seems that they're actually fostering some folklore. And so you need to be careful. You need to look and see what Mormon leaders have actually said on the subject, because the people who are usually saying things contradictory to the leadership don't have the authority to do so. We're going to be looking at some more of these alleged misconceptions in the days to come.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.